Hello there, folks. I've got no idea how this is gonna go really. I'm completely firing from the hip here. There's probably gonna be a whole lot of me saying I'm not really sure about that. I'm confused about that. This is a disclaimer at the start of the meeting. Because like I think probably first thing I probably wanna say is like that I did. It's going to be so starkly different, I think, from the first share I did. First share I did with here at Tusno was like 3 months into recovery, 3 months into sobriety, and I was still doing a lot of traditional AA at that time. And everything seemed quite sort of recovery seemed like quite straightforward to me, in a way, not easy, but just straightforward. It seemed like there was a clear A to B sort of thing, and there was a lot of things that I took that I took as sort of like just sort of like conventional wisdom, just sort of like common sense, from people who who are part of the recovery scene, especially traditional AA, that I sort of that I don't know, I sort of just took them at face value and just took them at their word. And since then a lot of that's gone out the window for me, honestly. Recovery, I am much more confused about what this whole business is now than I was back then. I don't really know that it is really anything at all, really, other than what it is for you, that's just a bit of a disclaimer. There's not going to be, there's not going to be, what do they call it? Experience, strength, and hope. It's not going to be that type of share, it's going to be a much more confused, tumultuous, all over the place share. So I'll start by talking about my day, because I thought I had had a really cool day today. I went out and I woke up and I'm here staying with I had recently the anniversary of meeting my ex-girlfriend 4 years ago, and we're still very, very, very close. And I'm here staying with her in France, and we're not together, but we're very close still. And I woke up next to her, and I had a very like lovely morning, drank tea, then I went out to play, went to the market with her here in France, and went to play music, played music in the street, had a really lovely like experience playing music. Just a really good day. I made loads of money, but the money's besides the point, I suppose. Really for me, it's more like about like the sort of general vibe that you get from people. So I got a really cool vibe, and then loads of people from this house that we were staying at walked past at this really beautiful moment when I was like singing a song about my ex-girlfriend, like I wrote about her. And there was loads of crowd, and it was like it was just great. It was like it was just like one of those mornings and one of those days. And then I just played a game in there and drinking tea while everyone else was drinking wine, enjoying sort of playing this playing games and just having a nice time. And it really brought to me this phrase that everybody in Tusno that hears me that's heard me bang on a bit has probably heard me say, which is how I get annoyed with the way that the phrase "this too shall pass" is used. Because I only ever hear it used in the negative. So when someone's having a negative time, they say "this too shall pass," and I think it loses all its power if you only use it in that context. So when I was having the best day today and I was smashing it, and like life seemed just beautiful and everything was great, you know what I said to myself? "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." There'll be a day, tomorrow or next week where everything feels terrible. And saying to myself that today that this too shall pass will help me understand that this too shall pass when it's a bad day also. So that was my day, so that's lovely, and that compared to where I was a year ago is pretty dramatically different. Hey Laura. Looking lovely as always. So it's pretty dramatically different to where I was a year ago. A year ago, I was drinking a lot, man. Like it got quite bad a year ago. I was sort of like, I was just like, I was at the point where I was waking up in the mornings, just first thing is like thinking about a drink and just going, just trying to kill a couple of hours until it was like, till I could sort of psychologically tell myself it was okay to have a drink. I was sort of like going and playing music, but it was like kind of just for the money to buy booze. Like that was the main thing that was really in my head, was like, how do I fucking like go and play some music enough to make, just make enough money to get some beer, have a beer while I was playing, you know, on the streets, or hiding it from people, shit like that. Like it was, you know, it got fairly bad. Not like not as bad as, you know, as it has for some. But yeah, I mean, it only it, so I yeah, but anyway, yeah, it was, you know, it was getting to that point where it was definitely, you know, the romance had definitely disappeared, put it that way. Yeah, so I guess I'll talk a little bit about, I talked quite a bit about my childhood last time. I don't think I want to talk too much about my childhood really. Don't really know why. I don't know. You can just sort of get lost in your childhood, can't you? A little bit, get sort of a bit sort of I don't know. I can anyway. I could get a bit lost in my childhood. It's a lot. It's too much. Too fucking much happened. Can't fucking talk about that in fucking 10 minutes. I had a strange upbringing, I'll put it that way. And I say not, neither bad nor good. I had a strange upbringing. I'll say one story which perhaps epitomizes it, like maybe better than in a short space. Like there was a lot of drugs and alcohol around when I was growing up, definitely, blah blah blah. There was a lot of, you know, I had some abuse here and there. My dad, definitely, this, that, and the other, quite a bit of traumatic experience. My mum used to take us away, three kids, me and my brother and my sister, three of us. My brother's a year and a half older than me. My sister's 3.5 years younger than me. My mum's a single mum. I had my brother when she was 21, so very young, couldn't cope, very struggled on benefits, social welfare, whatever you dudes call it where you're from, my whole life. So very poor. But she used to take us on holiday for 4 weeks every year to a random country. No plan, no nothing, just backpacks, let's go. And we used to go to a campsite, find a campsite somewhere in a hot country on the beach, park up the tents and just be poor as shit and just live on the beach for 4 weeks. Live on pasta and like tomato sauce on the camp stove, and sleep in one tent for the first few years, all four of us. And just live like that for 4 weeks. And one time we ran out of money completely, so much that we had to sleep in the airport for a week. So we made a little home in the airport and slept in the airport for a week until our flight home. So that was, and they were the happiest times of my life. Still to this day, the happiest times of my life. So that's maybe a little taste of what kind of upbringing I had. It was a bit unusual, but not all bad, you know, not at all bad. Yeah. Then as I got older, I don't know, talk about teenage years. I got in a lot of trouble. I was a bit of a bad kid. Well, I was a very, very bad kid. I was very lucky not to go to jail. I used to get in a lot of fights. So I was very angry. I was an angry young man. Very, very angry young man. I was very, I mean, but you know, I was very sensitive as well. I was very sensitive. I was always a very sensitive person. But I had a kind of weird contrast of like, yeah, I was quite feminine and sensitive in a lot of ways, but then I was very angry and masculine and kind of violent, honestly. Growing up, quite a violent kid, and I got in a lot of trouble. Should have gone to jail a few times. Got very, very lucky. Stopped getting in trouble when I was about 17. Had an existential crisis. Very much, very, very profound existential crisis in which I started to like do a lot of shit. Like just read a lot of like novels were very important to me. Classic Russian novels, literature, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, loads of others like Orwell, fucking Oscar Wilde, loads and loads of just authors. But they were sort of my education and my spiritual leaders in some sense through my sort of years between 17 and like 22, 24 maybe. I started to get into quite a bit of Taoism. I started to meditate, things like that. Had little rules that I lived by for a while. I used to write them on my hand every morning. I used to write down shit like, this is when I was about 19, I used to 20, I used to write down on my hand, be silent when you have nothing to say. Don't nurture feelings or thoughts of superiority. Don't be an expert among laymen. Things like this, I used to write them on my hand and look at them throughout the day. I was very, very, because I was fucked, man. I'd completely lost all sense of like the world around me, like, and myself in the world, in relation to the world around me. And I knew that I had to look. I think I just intuit from reading all these books and doing all this stuff, I just knew I had to look through like some sort of philosophical place to find any kind of peace with myself. I knew it wasn't going to come from anything external. So I did a lot of soul searching in those years. A lot of the stuff, honestly, a lot of the stuff that the 12 steps is about, I think I did a lot of that shit when I was between the ages of like 17 and 22. Not exactly the same, different recipe, but the kind of gist of it, like I did a lot of it around those ages. I started playing music, started playing guitar. Oh, drinking, yeah. I need to talk about drinking, aren't I? I think I started drinking, fucking drinking. Teenager, it was binging. Teenager, it was binging, always binging. Qu couldn't stop once I started, but I never had that thing of like waking up in the morning and wanting it again. I wasn't. One thing that I do notice about myself, what I feel like my story is a little bit different to a lot of people that I meet in recovery is I didn't have this ill at ease thing in myself, like apart from in just in certain periods. Generally speaking, I didn't seek out alcohol for escapism. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like I didn't have this thing of like I don't want to be in reality. I have to get out of it. So in the early years, I drank maybe, I'd drink like 2 times a week, maybe sometimes three, and I but I'd always get blackout. I'd always get blackout. But I didn't have that sense of like waking up the next day and wanting to drink again. It wasn't me for a long time. And then I started playing my guitar and traveling. That was what I did. That's what I basically made a life out of through my 20s. I just took off. Hitchhiking, started at some point, started playing music like on the streets. Then after that, started getting gigs and stuff, and I just fucking made my way like all around the world, mainly Europe, but a lot of countries as well, like, around the world, just playing music and drinking. And it was fucking great for a very long time. I'm not gonna lie. I think I managed to sort of get away from a lot of these demons that I had from when I was younger, and I did a lot of work on myself. And for a period, I was really, really happy, and I actually learned to drink like a gentleman. Not that there wasn't bad shit going on, and not that there wasn't, still problems and things like that, but just overall, I lived a fairly happy life for quite a while, and I actually had a fairly healthy relationship with alcohol. And then things started to just slip. Just slip up a bit more, a bit more, a bit more, a bit more until I just, yeah, around, I think like around like 20, I think around the age of around 26, 27 was where I started to notice a change in my drinking. It's when I started to notice this, like, this waking up the next day and thinking, oh, I could just go for a beer again, you know what I mean? And then it started to spiral from there. So I'm one of these, like, I'm of the opinion that I drank myself into alcoholism. I'm not of the opinion that I was an alcoholic, that I was always there in me. I definitely had some predispositions to it, genetic, and I had trauma from growing up and was around it and stuff like that. So there was definitely some predispositions there, but I definitely think that it was. I think I drank myself into alcoholism primarily on philosophical grounds. And the more recovery I've done, the more I've realized that like my drinking was just so connected to my sort of philosophical convictions and my search for meaning in life, like I'd made some sort of God out of experience, out of like out of experiencing life to the fullest. And nothing made me able to experience life as fully as drinking. Drinking was what enabled me to just exist in the chaos and fucking love it. And that was just the thing that always felt the most right to me, you know? So that was like the basis of it. But then obviously from that basis comes the hangovers and not wanting to feel those. And the sort of like, and then there's sort of the snowball effect and the rolling downhill of like, at the basis of it is that philosophical conviction. But then the suffering of just drinking comes into it, and they're trying to alleviate that suffering that comes from the drinking by more drinking. And then just the, and also just the environment. I was constantly traveling and just around musicians and people that were just like doing lots of like crazy stuff, and it was just very normal to just be drinking all the time. I never had to hide it. It was only in the last year that I ever started hiding my drinking. I was always just like, I just used to rock up just like drunk calls. Yeah, I'm drunk again. Yeah, I'm drunk. Yeah, I'm fucking drunk. Yeah, party. Woohoo, let's go. Let's play some music. I always just told everyone, I was like, yeah, I'm a fucking alcoholic. Never had to hide it from my family or anything. From about 26 onwards, I just started telling people I was an alcoholic. Ha ha ha. Nah, I'm an alcoholic. Ha, you know? And Yeah, so I was never dishonest about it really up until like the last year. Because it was kind of just what I wanted to do. It was what I wanted to be doing. I think I always just wanted to like kind of experience that lifestyle. And yeah, I wanted to spend my 20s in a wild way, man. And I did. But it definitely got to a point where it was just, where yeah, I knew that it had gone too far. And it was about a year. It was about a year of just fucking, of it just being just no romance anymore. It was just drinking because I needed to drink. And then about a year of that, that's when I got into recovery after about a year of just this sort of like sad drinking. Almost a year ago now, I got into recovery. Had a relapse through the summer. Drank for, well, I drank once, and then I had a month off, and then I drank for a couple of months. And I drank not super, super heavily, but like drank enough. I was drinking like maybe every other day or something like that. And then I got sober again. Yeah, you know, I'm not, again, this is like, I don't really think that anyone should take anything from what I say necessarily for themselves. Because all it is what works for me. I don't know if it's going to work for anyone else. I am not of the opinion that I need to never drink again. I am not of the opinion that I even won't drink again. I think I probably will. I look at recovery as in like as a, my goal is to not drink alcohol. And at some point I will no longer want to drink alcohol. But I'm not of the opinion that like, that somehow if I drink, that I lose everything that I've gained through recovery. You know, I see it more like passing checkpoints. I see it more like changing my brain, over time by not drinking. And the more I change my brain, the more I don't want to drink. But just because I slip up here and there, that doesn't mean that I've lost that time or I've lost that change in the brain. I haven't. I've passed checkpoints through all that time, and I'm not going back to the start again. That's one problem that I have. One of the big major problems that I have with AA is that the way that it's talked about is often like that. And I think that can, it's a bit of an all or nothing game, you know, which maybe works better for those who are a bit further down the line. But I think there's a lot of people coming in a lot younger now, and that don't have as serious, they haven't had as much like, they haven't drank as much for as long. And I think that maybe this all or nothing game is a little bit, it can be a little more harmful than helpful, actually, in a lot of ways. To some people, as I say, to some people, I just speak for myself. I don't fucking know for anybody else. I've got no fucking idea. And the longer I do this shit, the more confused I am. I don't even know what that word alcoholic means anymore, honestly. I was pretty fine with saying it when I first came in. Now I don't even say it anymore. I just say that I'm in recovery. I don't know what alcoholic means. But yeah, I'm trying to get from my big thing is I'm trying to keep an image of what I'm trying to get away from. And I'm trying to keep an image of what I'm going towards and make it a twofold thing. I want to be running away from the image of what I don't want, and I'll be want to be running towards the image that I do want. And as long as I'm progressing in that sense along that road, that's my recovery. And I am. I say I had a like today is a good example of what I didn't have a year ago and what I do have today. And so recovery for me is working. Maybe not the same as it works for everybody else, maybe not to everybody's standards, and maybe not what everybody else would even advocate for, but it's working for me. So yeah. Hey, I didn't go too bad, I think. Thanks very much. I just want to say I love my mate Jan. Thanks for asking me to share. Nice one.